This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 2200. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world. Above all, the dynamic medium of international shortwave between the AM and FM bands. On this edition, recorded July 20th, 2023. Antarctica, Australia, Brazil, Cuba, Guam, Indonesia, North America, Peru, Romania, Saudi Arabia, Senegal, Singapore, Spain, Taiwan, Turkey, UAE, USA, Vanuatu, Squawk Codes, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer. Yes, this is the 2200th edition of World of Radio. At the rate of 52 programs a year, not always exactly the case, that means we would have started 48 years ago with number one in the year 1975. And I, for one, have enjoyed every week of World of Radio since then. Via remote in Argentina, I heard once again LRA 36 Antarctica on Saturday, July 15th, between 1905 and 2042 UT as it was fading down, on 15475.98 reduced carrier USB. The nominal Saturday schedule being 18 to 23 UT, it seems they keep changing their plans just about every week. Manuel Mendez in Spain is in touch with him by WhatsApp, and he says as of July 12th, they said they would be on the air Wednesday and Friday from 13 to 18 UT, and Saturdays 18 to 23. And possibly in a few weeks they might be broadcasting Monday through Friday from 16 until 20, as well as on Saturdays at 18 to 23. As Ron Howard points out, if they're really on the air as early as 13 UT on certain days, they might have interference from 15475. On Saturday, July 15th, he found Furusato no Kaze in Japanese from Uzbekistan, from tune-in at 14:51 until it went off at 14:59. Actually, exactly on 15474.88. But on that date, there was no carrier from Antarctica. In the NASA flash sheet, Rob Wagner in Victoria finds that Unique Radio in New South Wales has been reactivated, this time on lower sideband 5035, heard July 16th at 10:40 with Antique Pop Selections. They had been off shortwave since March, and he says their license now states the transmitter is located at Moree, M-O-R-E-E, NSW. Looking at the website, www.uniqueradio.biz, it says, we broadcast on 5035 LSB until 9 p.m. and 3210 USB after 9 p.m. Australian Eastern Time. That is, changing frequencies at 11 UT, and they also have three different streams available. Aussie Tim Gaynor says, streaming servers will be up when shortwave is on the air with a mix of programs from our dedicated program producers, as per schedule. And now, that does include, again, World of Radio, Wednesdays at 10 UT, and also at 10:30. We assume the second half hour being a replay of the previous week's edition, but no longer on Sundays. Only one Brazilian is on three shortwave frequencies at once, Radio Voz Missionaria. They're never exact. July 18th, around 06:25 UT, I measured them as follows, with music and ID in Portuguese. 5940.220, 9664.901, and 11750.062. They're on all night, and I assume 24 hours. Brazil also has several free radio stations on shortwave, which may show up just about anywhere. Here are a couple of them monitored by Lucio Otavio Bobovic in Brazil on 7585 Radio Continental, ID at midnight 55 UT, July 15th, fairly good signal, with Brazilian music selections. And then there's Gala FM, G-A-L-A, on 6145. He says it's listed as Golden Instrumentals, but various times it's announced as Gala FM, heard July 15th from 1520 until 1610 in the daytime. Several interruptions, technical problems in the studio, overmodulation, except for the problems, a good signal level. Something's always wrong at Radio Havana, Cuba, such as running 9700 between 02 and 03 UT. On July 19th, it was making a huge collision with another station in Spanish, Radio Romania International, which, of course, is legally on that frequency. At least RHC is sporadic, sometimes in English and sometimes in Spanish, but RRI needs to move. Following up last week's comments from Rick Martin in Arizona about whether Cuban numbers stations have stopped, here's what he says on July 14th. I haven't heard any of them for at least a couple of weeks, maybe poor conditions, but this explanation doesn't work for long. Not even a weak carrier detected on July 13th. However, there was a week or so in September last year when the number of stations went off the air, but they did come back. There is a regular schedule for these, available on the web. He says, I will certainly report the first time I do hear a number station again. Some of the regular frequencies are 11435, 11530, and 11635. Perhaps Bejucal, the transmitter site, is on summer vacation. Of course, that's a site also well known for Radio Havana, Cuba. Joe's Jacob, who is an official monitor in India for Adventist World Radio, says, as of July 18th, KSDA Guam is back with their normal A23 schedule over three transmitters. For the last many weeks, they were operating with only two transmitters, as the antenna was damaged in the recent cyclone. Ron Howard, upon Asilomar, Dade Beach, California, says RRI Nabire, Program 1, Indonesia, had not been heard for over 2 weeks. But on July 17th, very pleased to tune in and hearing their usual easy-listening music and songs and some announcers. This was on 7289.93, heard from 0823 past 1035 UT, including Islamic prayers at 0858 and 0905, different ones. And there was news at 1000. We continue to hear almost every night past 06 UT, the North American Pirate, around 6869.92, but they never identify. However, Lucas Bandura got an EQSL from them, I guess, seeing his report in one of the forums, and they call themselves Late Night Lunatics, and say, what kind of rat bastard psychotic would play that song right now? Thanks for the report, July 2023, 40 watts, 10K, Colorado, whatever that means. And here is the email address it was sent from, lnl6xxx41sw@protonmail.com. Not only Brazilian, but some North American pirates use frequencies way off from the so-called pirate bands. In the NASA flash sheet, Mark Taylor in Wisconsin reports on XFM, heard on 12035 USB, parallel to 6865 USB, July 10th at 0222, music ID and more music. He thanked other stations for relays, Mix Radio International on 6165 USB, I guess he meant 6865, where he later reported good reception. Also Radio Illuminati relaying on 5185 AM, but not audible. And Two Dog Radio on 12035 USB, which had a fair signal. And they went through the logs as posted on HF Underground. Ron Howard in California reports Radio Quijabamba, Peru on 5025. Wonderful to find a time period with no Cuba. July 17th at 1040. With Peruvian music and songs and announcers, but at 11:05 it was hit with a strong startup of Cuba. Reception had not been great, but still enjoyable to find Cuba absent for a little bit. NBCDX news about Romania Non, the program Radio Carpathia, or Carpathia, is broadcast over Channel 292 in Germany, 9670, according to Bernd Zeiser in Germany, via Wiener Media. Now, this is originally in German, as the broadcast may also be. The program producer, Luca Trifon in Romania, says following a test on June 9th, I booked two repeats in July and August, one on Friday, 28 July, and the other on Saturday, 2 September, both at 16 UT on 9670, deemed 307 degrees. This month's broadcast will be a summary of the first year of Radio Carpathia, featuring my personal favorite tracks from the past 10 shows, and a special guest segment in the last 15 minutes. See the website radiocarpathia.org. Ed Sylvester, a U.S. Navy dude now living in Saudi Arabia, and Ham 7Z1ES, has been telling our group about his plans to advise the Saudi Broadcasting Corporation about increasing shortwave broadcasting, even in English. As for suggestions about what kind of programming we should look for, several of us on this side advised him against suggesting anything relating to a DX program, as that would be too specialized. He was planning a meeting with a high-level director from the SBA. However, he says, my suggestions may not be taken into account as they have hired a consultant for all the answers. My mission is to get the updated schedules and programming for medium, short, wave, FM, and TV. If they happen to ask, I will offer suggestions. I'm excited about this meeting and only hope they don't tell me Saudi plans to cease all programming on shortwave, hoping instead they will revamp their programming to attract more listeners and maintain SW. I've been to their antenna site in Riyadh, and it's quite something. Well, we always welcome more shortwave broadcasting, especially in English, but IGH point out that maybe we should not be too eager to help MBS improve his image. The July newsletter of the Association for International Broadcasting, AIB. According to local press reports, Senegal says France 24 is subversive. This is from SENENews.com. Accused of broadcasting biased news coverage about the West African country, upset by news stories on politics in Senegal. The government is reported to have issued a statement saying, this unethical, not neutral, tendentious, and subversive treatment of news about Senegal is evident in their news bulletins, programs, interviews, and articles broadcast over and over again on the channel. The government is alleged to have said that France, 24, should set the record straight and refrain in future from damaging Senegal's reputation with tendentious information. The Senegalese issue follows similar challenges to France 24 in Mali. Both countries appear to be clamping down on news and info about events in their countries, targeting international media with threats and intimidation. Following up last week's news that BBC was about to close down its Kranji Singapore relay site, July 16th at 15:02, I found no signal from BBC on 12025. That's where it had been well audible. The Kranji site has been deleted. This despite their own incompetent announcements for at least a week that it would be gone from tomorrow. Numerous World of Radio Group monitors found other frequencies terminated at the end of the UT day, July 15th. Since then, there's been a lot of monitoring about which frequencies BBC can still be heard of, and speculation about where they're coming from. It's all too complex to go into much detail here, as on the World of Radio Group. However, why has this been closed? Keith Perron, and of all places, Switzerland and Sound, explained the real reason. It's important to note the decision to close the BBC Far East Relay actually has nothing to do with the BBC World Service. All the land at the Kranji site is owned by the Singaporean government, who has wanted to take back the land for the past 30 years, and said more than 6 years ago, once the lease expires, it will not be renewed. Just up the road from the relay station is the former Radio Singapore International site. RSI was on the air from 1994 to 2008. It was closed by MediaCorp Radio in 2008 for a development plan by the Singapore government, and they have been waiting for the lease to run out at the BBC site to move the plan forward. As I've been to the Singapore relay many times, even in 2021, Cindy Liu, the manager, and Tom Lam Soon, the head engineer, said in an interview I did with them that the lease of the land ends in 2023 and the station would close. Kranji is prime real estate, and the Singapore government has earmarked over 150 giga Singaporean dollars, along with two major development firms who are investing even more, to build housing for 2,000 residents, technology R&D center, and more for that area. A similar situation led to the closure of the BBC relay in Thailand in 2017. BBC transmitters in Singapore will be scrapped. They were installed in the late 60s, but parts have not been available for more than 20 years. Very inefficient. And there have been complaints about the power consumption. Meanwhile, while they're at it seems that there have been cutbacks from other BBC relay sites, such as Oman. The VOA Philippines relay site was expected to be put into use to replace some of the BBC Singapore transmissions. And Joe's Jacob noted a new frequency, 9495 at 01UT, apparently replacing 9410. Via international vacuum, internet, medium, high, and very high frequencies, World of Radio 2200, a non-commercial service, like our website, worldofradio.com. Financial support appreciated by money order or check on a U.S. bank, to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK 73702, or via PayPal to WORADIO at yahoo.com. I mentioned last week that Antonio Buitrago would be retiring at the end of this year from Spanish National Radio. He's been the head of the shortwave service for Radio Exterior de España. However, that position has already been turned over to someone else. According to the AER group in Spain, Luis Manuel Fernandez Iglesias, who has been head of the Foreign Language Department. Buitrago took over in 2018 and is credited with reviving shortwave, which his predecessor had decided to cancel. We were a bit concerned that there may have been a policy change already despite the background of the new director, since there was no English broadcast Wednesday, July 19th at 2200. Instead, Spanish programming in progress continued. It was about political positions and debates, no doubt because of the big election coming up on July 23rd. And Mauno Ritola got confirmation from them that English had to be skipped because the debate ran late. Past local midnight, in fact. Following up last week about Radio Taiwan International making cutbacks, effective August 1st, they've been ordered to broadcast only 1 hour a day in each of their languages. So from their Japanese website translated via Jean-Michel Aubier in France and Stephen Luce in Texas, here's the entire schedule effective August 1st. Japanese at 11 on 9740. English at 16 on 9405. Indonesian at 10 on 11915. Thai at 13 on 9525. Vietnamese at 11 on 9695. And only half an hour of Korean at 10:30 on 9700. However, this makes no mention of relays via WRMI one way or the other. Of course, those have not been including any English. Checking the Voice of Turkey's English broadcast scheduled at 22 UT on 11785 almost every day this past week, I found that it was not on the air on July 15th, 18th, or 19th. Something's often erroneous at Emerlair. Under UAE None on 15420 in the NASA flash sheet, Mark Taylor in Wisconsin reports Al Arabiya FM via Wooferton at 1915 UT, July 11th in Arabic. Audio from Dubai's Al Arabiya network. He says very professionally produced, announcers with various articles and interviews and correspondence. There was an ID just before it went off abruptly at 1959. This is mentioned in the WRTH updater. Target area in Arabic is Sudan, 19 to 20 daily on 15420 from UK, also at 19 to 21 daily from the Cyprus relay reactivated on 639 kHz. WRTH says it's a UAE-based news channel with FM transmitters in Saudi Arabia, relayed on shortwave since May 2023. See www.alarabiya.net. About medium wave 639 kHz. At the end of April, Chris Greenway quoted a tweet that was on the air relaying Saudi Arabia's Arabiya TV. 639 was, of course, originally a BBC relay on Cyprus. Kai Ludwig updates us as of July 16th. I checked and the Akrotiri transmitter was on the air again, this time not with an apparent promo material, soliciting feedback from Sudan, but with the regular Al Arabiya FM program. So a real service has started. Goes off at 21 UT. And from earlier observations, it came on at 19 UT. So Al Arabiya is now not just under the day-to-day leadership of the former director of BBC World Service. It also uses a medium wave frequency half a year ago abandoned by its direct competitor, an interesting constellation. One remains is the question about the rationale for this external lease when both high-power Saudi medium wave facilities on the Red Sea coast appear to be off the air. Via Rhonda Johnson and Dan Robinson, a story from Washington Business Journal, July 13th by Tristan Navera. Voice of America's parent federal agency plans to leave its longtime National Mall home. USAGM has called 330 Independence Avenue Southwest home for nearly 70 years, but it's now released a request for lease proposals through the GSA for between 275 and 350,000 square feet of highly efficient space for a modern building, capable of supporting the operations of a modern media organization. The old building is highly inefficient. It was originally a Social Security Administration, now known as the Wilbur J. Cohen Building. USAGM and its predecessor agencies have lived in that building since 1954. The new location must be in D.C., preferably near the White House or the U.S. Capitol. It's ready to start moving this September, but a full move is anticipated by 2028. Craig Chris says, why must VOA be in D.C.? Isn't office space cheaper and more spacious in the surrounding suburbs? Kai Ludwig replies, Arabic has indeed been referred to the suburbs and brings up a Google map showing the Middle East Broadcasting Network is at 7600 Boston Boulevard in Springfield, Virginia. Another World of Radio broadcast has been canceled by WRMI Friday at 1430 UT on 9955. However, we're still on that frequency at one other time, Sunday at 1330. And on that service, there is also webcasting and phonecasting. That means our first broadcast each week on WRMI is UT Saturday at 0130 on 5850. That is 24 hours after production, but you can hear us immediately via podcast or worldofradio.com. On WBCQ 7490, we continue to be heard 6 days after production, Wednesdays at 2100, actually 7489.93. And there's a new program following us at 2130 Wednesdays, the Plain Old Doug Show. I listened one week, he was playing straight novelty Dixieland tunes, and followed at 2154 by Line Break Poetry Reading. Those are two survivors of Radio Angela, which was on the air at different times. Plain Old Doug is Doug Feldman, a loyal listener who tries his hand at making shows for WBCQ. And Line Break features T.D. Walker with Poetry Reading. No more Radio Angela, but Bill Tilford says, beginning August 6th, Julio Cesar Pereira and I will be purchasing a shared weekly hour Sundays at 22 UT on 7490 right after Marion's Attic. I will be taking week one with From the Isle of Music, and week three with Uncle Bill's Melting Pot, Julio weeks two and four with Jinga Brazil. This does live stream, but does not archive on WBCQ.com. There's been a lot of press coverage lately about the financial woes of one of the major station owners in the U.S., Audacy. That's not spelled with an O, but A-U-D-A-C-Y. So we wonder if it's almost done, and what's wrong with American radio? Eric Fetterswalp in Lake Stevens, Washington says, my recently departed father was a banker who specialized in credit management, trying to help companies that had taken out loans and then fallen into trouble. The strategy of taking on massive amounts of debt to form these radio conglomerates seemed destined to fail, because taking on debt in an industry where revenues are falling does not make sense. At the same time, these chains have further narrowed the music and talk you can hear on radio, turning off listeners. I love DXing, but I'm increasingly not listening to radio content in my everyday life. When I do listen to a local station, it's usually one of the Seattle area's nonprofit music stations or one of this region's two big NPR affiliates. This all reminds me of what started happening in the newspaper industry, where I started my career about 15 or 20 years ago. I'm afraid the U.S. radio industry is in the same free fall now. And Mike Gorniak in Braham, Minnesota replies, timing is everything. The original iHeart or Clear Channel business model was heavily dependent on massive personnel reductions via voice tracking and centralizing business operations. They also tossed out engineers en masse. Those employees that remained had their duties tripled or quadrupled, with no additional compensation. I have a feeling he's speaking from experience. Another part of the plan was to increase revenues by controlling as many facilities as possible in multiple markets. The consolidations continued beyond rational thinking for a number of companies that were seduced by the concept of the Clear Channel model. The plan fell apart when the Internet went mainstream. That's when radio revenues and property values began their downward spiral. On the other hand, we need to save public media. I found this on the OETA website. This is urgent. A House subcommittee just approved legislation that would eliminate federal funding for the Corporation of Public Broadcasting, CPB, public radio and TV stations' largest single source of funding. The bill also strikes interconnection funding, the federal program that ensures you receive your favorite public media shows and emergency alerts. Act now to save your local public media stations. Enter your information and follow the prompts to call your representative. If these recommendations take hold, Americans of all ages will be negatively impacted. Here's what you need to know. And the website goes on to explain how to contact your representatives. The details are at, all one word, protectmypublicmedia.org, and then urge Congress to save public media. We continue to hear Radio Vanuatu on 7260 with improved signal. I usually tune in after 06UT and it signs off around 1100. Ron Howard listens for much longer. On July 18th, he says, there was news, sports, and weather in Bislama at 0700. The lead story was about the Melanesian Arts and Culture Festival, the opening ceremony to be held the next day. Notice that this major event goes through to July 31st, and that July 30th is Vanuatu's Independence Day, and there will be some live media coverage from the festival. Nick Delmage in Sherwood Park, Alberta says, here's a recording from circa 1973 of an unidentified. I do not have any frequency, time, or anything else. Does anyone remember this jingle? Well, I guess it's Latin America since it starts off in Spanish. Last-minute item, in case you're hearing this in time, a crypto transmission from KPH. Attention all intercept operators. This will be Saturday, July 22nd, starting at 20 UT. Details are at the website www.radiomarine.org under MRHS events. Via July New Zealand DX time, there is an article from On the Radar, a newsletter from Flight Radar 24, written by Sam Jacoby on May 19th, about what are squawk codes, S-Q-U-A-W-K. They are what air traffic control use to identify aircraft when they are flying, unique four-digit numbers ranging from four zeros to four sevens, some of which are fixed values signifying specific scenarios, others randomly generated. There are 4,096, a power of two, unique combinations aircraft can use to identify themselves. When the aircraft enters an ATC's airspace, ATC generates a squawk code for the aircraft and radios the pilot to enter it into their aircraft's transponder. The transponder then continually transmits this back to the ATC, the squawk code displayed next to the aircraft's dot on the tracking screen. But also there are three squawk codes that aren't random, used to communicate to ATC without the use of speech. They tend to be used in emergencies. Pilots change squawk code away from their designated one, signaling to ATC what is happening on board. Standardized by the ICAO. The first of these is 7500, unlawful interference, more commonly referred to as hijacking, a situation where squawking is particularly useful, allowing pilots to contact ATC discreetly. The second emergency squawk code is 7600, showing ATC the aircraft has lost verbal communication. It could mean it can still hear ATC and not yet respond. This can lead to emergency communication via light guns. Finally, 7700, used for general emergency. Well, the next time you are on Flight Radar 24 looking at an aircraft's details, check the squawk code to find out what's going on board. The propagation outlook from SWPC issued July 17th, following a predicted peak of ANK indices of 25 and 5 on the 18th, only 8 and 3 or 5 and 2 most dates all the way through August 12th, except August 3 unsettled 10 and 3. Polar flux as low as 160 July 24th to 27th, and as high as 180 August 7th to 10th. With many thanks to all our contributors and stations through all the years, Glenn Hauser here concluding the 2,200th edition of World of Radio, inviting you to hear me again next week with a standard disclaimer.